Our lesson tonight is out of Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 to 42. Christ's righteousness regarding the issue of retaliation. Christ's great sermon on the Mount provided valuable insight on God's true righteousness. What Israel's religious leaders greatly lacked is seen in their dead traditionalism. To illustrate the contrast between the false righteousness of Israel's leaders and God's true righteousness, Jesus gave six illustrations, with the fifth illustration regarding the issue of retaliation in Matthew 5, verses 38 to 42. So we study the passage in view of other scriptures for insight, application, and edification as follows. I want to read the passage, and then we'll look at it. Matthew 5, beginning at verse 38. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue you at the law or at the court and take away your coat, let him have your cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain or 2 miles. Give to him that asks thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. In Matthew 5:38, Jesus referred to the teaching of what they call the lex talionis. That's Latin for the law of the talon. The talon is an eagle's foot. It's the law of the talon, where it's foot for foot, eye for eye, or claw for hand. And it's directed that a punishment should be gauged by the offense instead of allowing retaliatory feuds to erupt and result in injuries that went beyond the level of the initial injury in unjust revenge. If you go back to the time of Lamech, where he boasted, remember this, he was a descendant of Cain, he boasted that because a young man had wounded him, he killed him. And that was a problem that kept erupting throughout the ancient Near East, even after the flood. So even the pagans came up with the rule of an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. In other words, just because someone knocks your tooth out, don't kill them. In fact, in the ancient Near East, often that was the case. If someone knocked your tooth out or injured you in some way, you actually take his life. So a law started to be circulated in order to stop feuds and stop unjust retaliation. And that is, if someone knocked your tooth out, you could only knock his tooth out. You couldn't kill him. If he took your eye out, you could take his eye out, that kind of a thing. So the law was actually determined. It was actually set up to start restricting excessive abuses. In fact, this law appeared in Exodus 21, 23 to 25 regarding an injury to a pregnant woman that caused her to miscarry her infant. If she miscarried her infant and the infant died, then it had to be the death of the person that had caused the abortion to occur. If the baby lost his hand or foot, then that a person had to lose his hand or foot accordingly. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 21, that was used regarding the punishment of a false witness in a court trial. If a person was a false witness in a court trial, he was trying to use the court as a means of getting revenge against the person that he was witnessing against. And if it was like the death penalty, and the person was trying to get someone else under the death penalty, if he was proved to be a false witness, he had to be put to death. On the other hand, if he was suing for a cow or a sheep, and he was trying to be a witness in a situation like that, and was found out that he was a false witness, then he had to give up his sheep or his cow, as the case might be. So this is the law of the talon. In fact, the lex talionis was actually widespread among Semitic peoples in the ancient Near East, seen in Hammurabi's laws of ancient Babylonia, where he stated life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, and stripe for stripe. That's actually word for word what occurs in verses 24 and 25 of Exodus 21. So it's interesting that the Bible actually picked up the lex talionis that was circulating in the area and used it at that time. Well, though the Mosaic law set a boundary on retaliation, no person was required by the law to react in like manner toward an offender. where the Pharisees were eager to use the right to exact punishment on one who had wronged them. In other words, if someone had wronged you, the Pharisees are very eager to take a hold of that law of retaliation and exercise it. Well, Jesus comes along and says you don't have to exercise that retaliatory law. There was nothing that said you had to. That law was actually set up to restrict people from getting into feuds. So Jesus had a different view. Jesus taught that to demand one's right was not a manifestation of divine righteousness. Christ said that righteousness, godliness, and holiness do not demand one to seek his rights. Instead, it is the characteristic of righteousness and godliness to give up rights. Christ did this when he stood falsely accused before Pilate. Thus, he was saying that a righteous man is characterized by a selflessness that does not demand his own rights. This is one of the major reasons why we don't believe in demonstrating as Christians, going in front of and making a demonstration, even if you have a legal right to do that, because we feel it actually creates more of a problem for our testimony. Yes, we should be responsible in the voting booth where we vote or write to our senators or legislators, as the case may be, or the governor. But to get out and to demonstrate as Christians actually is a problem, because it hurts our testimony. Far leftists do it all the time, but they don't have a testimony. They don't care. They're just trying to push the boundaries. But Jesus has a very different view of righteousness. We're not supposed to demand our rights. For this reason, Matthew 5:39-42, Jesus gave specific illustrations of true righteousness of God, where one ceased to demand his rights, but even gave up his rights in totally avoiding retaliatory feuds. Instead of resisting the evil injustice of being struck on his right cheek, apparently in a punitive procedure, one should turn the left to let him strike his other cheek as well. That's in verse 39. Apparently this is in a situation where punishment is being exacted, and let's say the punishment is not right or it's incorrect. So if a person, you're not supposed to resist evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him also the other. So this doesn't mean that if you're walking in New York City, 11:30 at night, and someone comes up and slugs you on the, and you need to turn the other, that's a different situation than being in the law court here in the ancient Near East. And then also number two, if one is sued in a court of law, his accuser takes away his tunic, the sued party should also let him have his coat. A coat would be the outside thing that you need to keep warm in to sleep if you're a poor man. So that's going the extra mile. Jesus also taught that if a Roman soldier who had the right to make a citizen in Israel carry his load for 1 mile in any direction, see, if you had just let's say you're walking from Bakerville and you're walking this way and you've come all the way to the church, a Roman citizen, a Roman soldier, if he met you coming this way, he could make you carry his load for 1 mile going back to Bakerville. Then you'd have to go back. And this became an irritation, of course, to the Jews. But he had that right. The soldiers were limited as to what they could do to the citizens because the Roman government was trying to keep peace. But this was a law that they had. Well, the citizen, if he was conscripted in order to bear that soldier's burden for 1 mile, the citizen should carry 2 miles. In other words, carry it a mile beyond Bakerville kind of thing. That's what Jesus is teaching here. So instead of bearing it for 1 mile, you go 2 miles, and sacrificing his right to stop carrying the load at 1 mile. Now, though the Hebrews in Jesus' day were not required to give to beggars, Christ taught that righteousness will respond to the need and will not turn away from such a person. That's Matthew 5:42. I know in the English it says, if one wants to borrow from you, I give it to him and not turn away. The borrower is to take, literally take, but it could be someone who wants to borrow, a fellow Jewish person wants to borrow, and the Bible does talk about under the law, one Jew had to loan to another. That was the loving thing to do, and to do it without interest if it was a fellow Jew. So However, there is a limit to following this directive by the Lord Jesus, and it's taught by the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. I want to turn there, because this is something that we need to look at. It's something, we're living in an era where there are a lot of people who will take advantage. There are a lot of scams that are going on, and they will try to take advantage of people. Let me read the passage, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. This know also that in the latter days, harsh or hard times shall come. For men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and holy, without natural affection, truce makers, false accusers, incontinent, which means lacking self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the spiritual dynamics thereof. From such turn away, or from such withdraw yourselves. And that's in the middle voice. In other words, you withdraw yourselves for your own protection. So that's the limit. If an abusive person seeks to take advantage of one's gracious, non-retaliatory response to the abusive party's wrong by perpetually abusing him, the abused party should withdraw from the abusive party's reach to avoid being needlessly abused. Jesus' teaching in Matthew 5, verses 38 to 42, was meant to teach his hearers the path of ending retaliatory actions toward wrongdoers, not to enable abusive people to further the abusive actions. So the goal of the Lord Jesus in his teachings is to stop the problem, to stop the abuse. Okay, where he tells us to soak up the problem so that it doesn't go any further. But if another person is abusive towards us, God doesn't want that to continue. He wants us to withdraw from that so that the abuse stops. So the goal is to stop the abuse one way or another. So though the Mosaic Law utilized the ancient Near Eastern law of lex talionis to restrict unjust feuds from erupting by limiting the punishment of wrongs to the level that the wrongs deserved, Jesus taught that this law was not meant to foster a spirit of revenge, even to the exacting of a punishment at a fair level, but that true righteousness went beyond a spirit of revenge to sacrifice one's rights to avoid the possibility of unjust feuds ever erupting. The limit to heeding Jesus' call to sacrifice one's rights is to withdraw from an abuser who seeks to take advantage of his victim to continue to abuse his victim. So may we sacrifice our rights as needed to avoid feuds while wisely not enabling abusers to abuse us. Before the service tonight, my wife was reading through these notes, and she came up to me and said that this applies pretty heavily to some experiences we had today. One experience is that we showed up and the bulletin had not been done. Okay, so I hurriedly rushed to my wife and I said, the bulletin's not printed. So she knows what to do. We've done this before. So she went in and started working. The first thing we worked on is the Sunday school class, the adult Sunday school class, so we had the sheets that were ready so we could have the Sunday school class right away. That didn't take more than a couple of minutes. And then she started working on the bulletin, and then she called the lady who was supposed to come in and had forgotten or thought that her time was next week and everything. And so that was interesting. Well, it didn't end there. This morning, after I had finished preaching the sermon, when I went back to turn off the amplifier, I saw the amplifier was already turned off. And I thought maybe there was someone that I knew who might have turned it off. So I went to the person. I said, did you turn the amplifier off? And he said, yes, I did. I said, did you turn the recorder off before turning it off? He said, no. I said, well, we lost the sermon then. Well, he was petrified, you know. He just felt terrible about it. So I said, well, I'll have to preach it again. So this week, sometime, you know, when nobody's here, I hope, I'm going to get up here and I'll record it again and go through the sermon notes again. Well, the person felt very, very badly about it. And so I took them over. I showed them the sign that we have there. It says right over the button, you know, let Pastor Shell or Gus Pumbar turn this off. Don't turn this off without turning the recorder. If you don't know how to turn the recorder off, leave it on. But it's just one of those things. So here my wife comes up here tonight, and I wasn't even thinking of this as an illustration. But this is an opportunity for us to practice what we're preaching right here tonight, and to go at it. And I imagine if I had been the person that had accidentally turned that off, I would have felt terrible too. Or the lady who had forgotten or neglected to check the schedule and showed up to do the bulletin, you know, we would feel very badly ourselves. So just put yourself in the other person's shoes and go at it from that. But a lot of times in Christian circles, a lot of times in our lives, sometimes even in our family lives or at the workplace, we have to just soak it up, you know, and go forward. And the best way forward is not to retaliate in any way, but just to do what we can to obey the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the righteousness that God wants us to aim for in our lives. He wants us to think about other people, put ourselves in the shoes of other people. And many times things that are done that are wrong or wrong towards us, many times they're inadvertent, people don't mean it. Many times people aren't thinking or haven't given it a thought. And so we have to be very, very careful to do what we can. Now, obviously, once again, we want to remind ourselves, God doesn't want us to sit there and just take abuse if someone is intentionally trying to abuse us. No, we can pull away from that. But for all practical purposes, we need to go beyond the lex talionis of the Old Testament and go beyond that and not seek even to take any type of retaliation. And if we do, I believe we'll be pleasing to the Lord.